Sheryl Sandberg is a name you may well know if you're into the tech world. She was the chief operating officer at Facebook. But when she lost her husband suddenly, it tipped her world upside down. She learned about what she calls Option B.
A few weeks after Dave died, there was a father-son activity. Our friend Phil and I were talking about who should do it. I said, okay, well, that's good, but, like, I want Dave. I want Dave to go with our son. And he said, Option A is not available, so let's just kick the shit out of Option B.
Well, now her book, Lean In, Sandberg's written a new novel with her friend, Professor Adam Grant, this time about resilience and what to do in times of adversity. Grant is a psychologist. He's an expert on how we find motivation and meaning. Professor at Wharton Business School, the University of Pennsylvania, New York Times best-selling author, and Sandberg approached him for help in getting through her husband's death, which turned into them co-authoring the book. And Adam Grant is with us. Good morning.
Good morning. Thrilled to be here.
Is it fair to suggest you don't know what you're capable of until you have to be capable of it?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think that very few of us know how much strength we have until we really get tested.
And how do you prepare for that then, or can't you?
I think there are things you can do to prepare for it. One of the biggest surprises to me is I always thought about moments of joy as giving us happiness, and they do, but they actually give us strength as well. When we make sure that we build joy into our lives, we build stronger relationships, and then those people are more likely to support us. And we also just remind ourselves of why life is worth living. And that reminder sometimes can get us through the most difficult of times.
And so when you talk about bringing joy into your life, it's your sort of joy, I'm saying. So whatever brings you joy, that's good.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people find joy in that great experience that we call flow in psychology, which is when you're so absorbed in an event that you lose track of time and place and even yourself. For me, it was like reading a Harry Potter book and then finishing and realizing, like, oh, I forgot that Hogwarts isn't real, which was really upsetting. But in those moments, you don't notice how much happiness you're feeling because you're so engrossed in them. But afterward, you look back on those as, like, the best experiences in life. And so one thing you can do is pay attention to those times when you're in flow and try to figure out, you know, for some people it's playing sports, for others it's driving in the car. Whatever those activities are, build them into your daily life.
And how much of that bringing joy into your life, if you like, how much of that's genetic, how much of that's taught?
Well, we think that about 50% of people's experiences of joy and happiness have sort of a genetic base. And that leaves a lot unexplained that, you know, that not only our learning and, you know, the way that we're raised can influence, but also the choices that we make. The daily actions that we choose to take seem to influence about 40% of our happiness. As the author Annie Dillard writes, how we spend our days is how we spend our lives. Mm. And I think that, you know, a lot of people realize, like, gosh, I have more control over my happiness than I thought. And one small way to do that is there's some really cool research showing that if you write down 3 moments of joy every day, that you actually find more joy in your life because you start to notice it. And, you know, you can think to yourself, like, oh, you know what? Even though this was not a great day, I still had a few moments that stood out.
If you deal with a lot of adversity in your life, does that make you more resilient or does it just wear you down?
It can actually go both ways. So, you know, there's the Nietzsche saying that what doesn't kill me makes me stronger. And for some people, that's true. A lot of times when we study resilience in psychology, you know, we started out thinking there were 2 options, right? You could go through adversity, whether, you know, you lose a loved one or lose a job or go through divorce, and you could be broken by that experience and have post-traumatic distress or, you know, debilitating depression. And the other option was to be resilient, which is to bounce back to where you were before. And then psychologists were stunned to discover that there's actually a third response, which is called post-traumatic growth, where you don't just bounce back, you actually bounce forward.
Wow.
And for some people, that is about having more strength, saying, look, I survived abuse or assault, and through getting through that, I know now that I can survive just about anything. And, you know, finding that growth really depends a lot on having a support system of family and friends around you, and also on saying, look, you know, my life is worse in some ways after I've gone through adversity, but I'm also determined to find new meaning and help other people avoid suffering through what I've learned.
I don't want to oversimplify it, but you've got like the war generation, the people who grew up post the war, and they will tell the younger people, look, we had a war to deal with, for God's sake, you don't know how lucky you are, get on with it. Is there something in that?
Yeah, I think there is. I think that, you know, so often gratitude comes from knowing how much worse things could be. There was actually a fascinating study published recently by Emily Bianchi, where she showed that if you graduated from university in a recession, when there were no jobs, you were significantly happier with your job 20 years later because you knew how lucky you were to have a job. And yeah, I think people who have gone through war, people who have gone through any real collective trauma or tragedy, they really learn to appreciate the good in their lives.
Now, the connection that you've got in this book with Cheryl, she of course was a go-getter at Facebook. She was a great achiever. Can you read anything into a person in her position? So the bigger you are, the harder you fall, or is that just not true?
I don't think it's ever that predictable. You know, everyone grieves in their own way and their own time. And, you know, I think for Cheryl being, you know, definitely as the chief operating officer of Facebook and the author of Lean In, she's definitely a high achiever. And I think that goes both ways. It has advantages and disadvantages. One of the biggest challenges was, you know, Cheryl's used to being in charge and being able to control everything in her life. And, you know, suddenly she lost her husband. And she was parenting two grieving children. She went back to work. She felt like she couldn't focus. And it was really more difficult, I think, you know, to have control when you're somebody who's used to having it.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you know, she was, I think, you know, she'll be the first to tell you that she was really fortunate to have resources where she was, you know, she didn't have to worry about whether she was going to lose her job or her house. And, you know, I think the other thing is that desire to regain control, it did motivate her to say, look, you know, I know that sometimes I have to let the grief happen. But, you know, if there's anything that I can do to build resilience, knowing that resilience is like a muscle, and there are steps we can take to strengthen that muscle, then, you know, I'm going to work at that and learn from, you know, for me, the great thing was, you know, psychologists have spent half a century studying resilience and learning from, you know, when children grow up with a parent who goes to jail or when they grow up in severe poverty, how do some of them come out so strong and successful and happy? And I think, you know, Cheryl was really motivated to learn from that research. For me, research is just learning from lots of people's experiences at once. And I think that, you know, that there's something we all can learn from that.
And when you talk about the research, where would you say it's at? How much do we know? How much more do we need to know? How much don't we know?
Well, I think we know a lot more now than we did in the past, especially in the past 15 years. Marty Seligman, a colleague of mine, launching the positive psychology movement made a really big difference to say, look, you know, it's important to understand how to reduce suffering, but we also need to understand how we can, you know, really make the best of bad experiences and help people regain joy again after they've struggled or gone through severe pain. And one of the great insights that came out of Marty's research is that, you know, when negative events happen in our lives, so often we fall into these traps of, you know, that song, Everything is Awesome?
Yep.
Well, the thinking traps that we get stuck in are the opposite. Like, everything is awful. There are these three T's that Marty described. So personalization, this is all my fault. Pervasiveness, this is going to ruin every aspect of my life. And permanence, I'm going to feel this horrible forever. And one of the things that I think we now know is that if you can avoid those traps and say, look, you know what? Not everything that happens to me is because of me. And, you know, I've been through bad things before. Yes, they take a toll. They bring sadness. But I've come out, you know, with some appreciation for life that I didn't have before. If you can remember to do that, say, look, just because it feels awful now does not mean it will feel awful forever. That's the beginning of the recovery process. And I think that very often it's hard to do that when we're just trying to be resilient for ourselves. But then when others are depending on, if it's, you know, your children, your spouse, your colleagues, your friends, oftentimes we become resilient for others. And, you know, when others need us, that's when we find the strength we didn't know we had.
It's great stuff. Adam, listen, I appreciate your time very much. Good luck with the book. Adam Grant, apologies for the quality of the line at the end there, but Adam Grant, the book is called Option B.